Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independent and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is David Linden.
Hello again.
And we just finished a segment with Barbara Feldman, who is a certified senior move manager and the founder of A New Start New York. And it really, I think it was so informative and it was fun. We really had a nice time. And the one thing that she touched on at the very end is the iPods or iPads being donated to Music in Memory for people with Alzheimer's and dementia of different kinds. Yeah. And Christina brought to my attention that actually we're going to be having them on the program in the near future. And they have been on in the past. So it's amazing how all the different people that come to this program, they're interconnected somehow. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to be moving to Megan McPherson.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Okay.
And Megan is an associate director at the Center for Health Innovation at Adelphi University.
I am.
And what we're going to be talking about is emergency preparedness for seniors during the winter months. And so far this winter, we've been pretty good. We had a lousy weekend 2 weekends ago with the snow.
But we've been pretty lucky.
Absolutely. Yes. There's been no problem.
Knock on wood. Yeah.
I know you have a poll.
We had a poll. We did a poll from the Center for Health Innovation at Adelphi in 2012. And, you know, this was around the time of Sandy. And so we, as we all lived through that and how that went, and we looked at, you know, how prepared folks were. And so 44% didn't have first aid kits in their homes. 48% lacked any type of emergency supplies, you know, because we always think it's not going to happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
And even after we say never again, we kind of forget that after the next crisis comes and the Klieg lights go away, right? You know, 37% don't have a list of drugs they're taking, and I think that is really, really a specific thing for seniors need to pay attention to. And then 52% don't have copies of their health documents and health insurance documents. So I think those are some really important statistics to keep in mind when we're talking about making sure seniors are prepared.
Right. Let's start right away with the list, the drug list. And we had last week, our co-host was Otto, and we had Dr. Kinski, Kisco, on the program. And she was talking about that very thing, that seniors should have them with them all the time, because God forbid you have to be out of your house for flood and you remember it's pink, you remember it's blue.
That's always my example.
And you have high blood pressure, or maybe it's low blood pressure, and because you're nervous, now you're out of your environment.
Correct.
And you don't know what's going on.
Look at you. He's got a lovely card in his wallet of exactly all the information you need to have on you.
Right. That's very important.
That's spectacular.
But that's Project Independence, people. That's why David knows these things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's important. That's the example I use is, you know, you take the pink pill. You know you take it at 6.
Right,
but you might not know why or what the dosage is. And if you're evacuated somewhere else on the island or off the island, as many people were during Sandy, you should know exactly, you know, what you're taking, when you take it, why you take it. As you said, is it low blood pressure, high blood pressure? You are out of your element, and that tends to discombobulate people in their best of ages. And, you know, what is the name of the drug and what's the number of your pharmacy?
Right.
You know, what doctor prescribed that for you? The contact information for that doctor, what other prescriptions you have that are from that doctor or other doctors. Go ahead.
Do you know if, as I'm asking this for the first time, does your pharmacy, or do most pharmacies, if I said, I'm somebody who takes 7 pills, if you take that, when you go in next time to get your prescription, can you say, give me a list of everything I take, the dose, et cetera? Do they have that? You know?
Oh, okay. They have a record of that. Remember, some people use different pharmacies, so that's something to keep in mind, because sometimes people use different pharmacies.
That's true, too.
You know, because some of the healthcare plans require you to send away, but some things you can get in person. So that's something to keep in mind. But yes, you can request, you know,
because
what have you filled for me?
That one is so important, because, you're thrown off.
Yes.
You're in a shelter someplace, and to start screwing up your medications because you really don't know, you know, and some people, I'm the person that goes to the doctor, and I just say, you know, and that's it. And
there's the county, Nassau County, and also town of North Hempstead, has something called Vial of Life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form with all the information, your doctors and all that, and you attach it, tape it to the inside of your refrigerator.
Yep.
And there's a little piece of paper that you put on the outside, so someone coming to get you in an emergency knows. Mm-hmm. Well, a suggestion, if you have it, if you're being evacuated, just before you go out the door, reach into the refrigerator, pull that thing out and carry it with you. It's the, it's what you said, John. It's the name of the drug, when you take it, you know.
But I think taking what Megan's saying is one step further. Yeah. As opposed to saying, I'm being evacuated, let me go to the refrigerator, you know, grab my vial of life and a hot dog, have it with you all
you have
the time.
Have a snack.
Yeah, have a snack.
Well, yeah, both.
Yeah, like you have it in your wallet, which is, you don't need to go looking.
Yeah.
God forbid there's a fire in your house.
Well, redundancy is the key, right? So having your documents backed up, if you can, on a the stick drives or on the cloud, if you're so savvy,
right.
Or ask your grandkids to help you out with that, or having a copy in your wallet, having a copy on your fridge. That's actually a very common thing that to put it on the outside of the fridge, because even if you are not being evacuated for a storm, but say you have a heart attack in your kitchen, the people that are responding, you're able to grab that right off the fridge and say, these are the drugs that they're on, these are the things they're taking, just so you know. So any type of emergency, you've got that information there, and I think that's really important.
Yes.
I agree. But you also said health documents.
Health documents.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put the burden on David. You don't carry around a healthcare proxy and different things like that,
no.
Of course.
No, you don't carry
right.
that. That's something you can definitely put on the cloud or on, have paper copies of it in a plastic bag that you can just grab in your go kit, as we call it, to take with you. But it has, your insurance card copied and all
the
information that you would need already there. Exactly, the health proxy, everything else.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Actually, you just said something about the cloud, and I'm not a big cloud person, but... Yeah, right. You have your grandchildren upload the stuff. So even all you got to do is say, Grandma is at this shelter because something went wrong with the house.
Mm-hmm.
The grandchild can just say, oh, hold on, Grandma. I can send to whoever it is all your information.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's,
Or you can put them on, they have those USB drives that can go right on your keychain. And so you can take it with you. And a lot of the medical bracelets now, you can have a USB drive that's associated with it that you wear around your wrist.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So all of your information is downloaded into there. Or you can put information online that's associated with those medical bracelets so that when someone calls the number that's on the medical bracelet, they can get everything.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going that way, so we might as well.
We are going that way. Might as well.
It just seems it's time-wise, it's just getting so fast that when you said that about a grandchild, it's so true. As opposed to having all these pieces of paper. Durable power of attorney is 5 pages or 4 pages, depending on how the lawyer drafted it.
Right.
Push the button. Have your grandson put it up in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely. That would be my suggestion. I think it's also important that if you're on treatments such as dialysis or cancer treatment, that you have some type of ongoing treatment. If there's even a snowstorm, if you go to that treatment 3 times a week, is the person who's picking you up going to be able to pick you up?
Right.
Are you able to get out of the house? Are they going to be open? So it's always good to have backup plans for that as well. If you have some kind of ongoing treatment. If you have oxygen, if you live on oxygen in the house, if you want to make sure that you're on the priority restoration list for the power company, if they were to lose power.
Okay, what is that? I didn't.
So you can contact the power company and let them know that you are on life-sustaining oxygen and you get on the priority restoration list for them. And so they know that you in that house are required to have oxygen if the power goes out, and so you will be a priority.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
You know that? See, that's in and of itself is a golden nugget.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
There are a lot of things like that.
And that's important because you have a person, honestly, who needs the electric, who needs the, they have a 24-hour supply. And Sandy, for some people, was 11 days.
Yes, we were too.
Okay, 11 days that I had no idea. That you'd have a situation where the utility company would have to focus on you first. And rightfully so. I wouldn't begrudge that. I mean, get their stuff going. It's more important to them.
Mm-hmm. But it's important to notify them because they won't know tell them. They're not linked in with the medical side of it.
Is this a number for Adelphi?
That is my number, but you can give it out. Do you want me to give it out?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 516-237-8639, and that's my direct line at the Center for Health Innovation.
Okay.
So
again, that's 516-237-8639, and of course you can call 311 to get in touch with Megan because, just some of the stuff you've talked about so far, for somebody who, I had a client who came in about 2 months ago, unfortunately since then she's passed away, but with oxygen. I had no idea that you would turn around and tell her, this is what you should be doing.
Yeah.
God forbid there's a terrible, and she had just went on it. Yeah. So her situation got deteriorated very quickly, but that's not the point.
But when those things happen, you know, it's important to kind of realign your preparedness around as certain medical issues happen.
Right.
We've
right.
actually been focusing on senior issues this whole year. And so we've been doing a thing called Senior Solutions. And so we did one on preparedness. We did one on care for the caregiver, you know, looking at folks who are actually caring for those who are elderly or otherwise infirm. And then we are also, we're doing one actually in February on challenges of elder care and strategies for success on February 15th. And so that should be very interesting as well.
That's at Adelphi?
It is at Adelphi from 1 to 3. And they can go to our website, which is chi.adelphi.edu.
C-H-I.
Adelphi.
Center for Health Innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dot?
Adelphi.
Okay.
Dot edu.
And I'm a phone call person, so feel free to call Megan at 516-237-8639. It's the bat phone, okay. Or call 311, because this is the kind of stuff, and Adelphi University, not just in reference to this, is a tremendous organization that I'm not going to question, just as LIU here is. People don't realize what we have on Long Island with Hofstra, with LIU, with Adelphi, major universities, and St. John's, which is more in Queens.
Malloy,
absolutely.
There are a lot of resources.
You have to take advantage of these resources. These are programs offered for free.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like the middle of it, you get up and you leave. What's the big deal? It's you know, they don't tie you to the chair.
We provide snacks.
Then you stay.
Oh, that's a good reason, yes.
There's a lot of good snacks.
Till the end, you have to stay for the snack?
I mean, you don't. But there's cookies. There's all sorts of wonderful accoutrements we offer.
Everybody gets something out of these things.
I
there's
agree.
No question about it.
We've had a lot of good feedback from our
programming.
Yeah,
no. So pretty much maybe monthly you do these things, or not really?
Not monthly. I would say just kind of maybe quarterly we would go with that.
Okay, that's fine.
If we had to make a round number.
Fine.
But, you know, we're offering programs all year, and just keep an eye on our events page, and more things will pop up as we go. And we have events not on seniors' issues as well.
Right, okay. But your focus is going to be seniors?
One of the center's focuses this year is on seniors' issues.
Okay, but the health Center for Health Innovation doesn't necessarily have to be for seniors. That's
nope.
my point.
Nope.
Okay, that was my point.
We look at health from kind of a global perspective, so it's, you know, economic, political, social.
Okay, terrific.
Yeah.
Actually, what we're going to do, as opposed to starting up right now, we're going to take a little bit of an early break, and then we'll be back with Megan. So you're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.